The title of this teaching is, There Is Now No Condemnation. So if you come out of this teaching with just that, understanding that, and believing that, then we're way ahead. 2 Timothy, you don't go there, but 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable, right? For doctrine, reproof, correction, which is instruction in righteousness. So we're going to look like at the instruction in Romans, which is a doctrinal epistle, regarding condemnation and that there is no condemnation. And everything, why, and wherefore, and so forth. We'll look at some other verses. So in verse 1, there is therefore. Now we all know when we see therefore, we say wherefore. It's basically saying there's some things that preceded this verse. So therefore, there is now no condemnation, right? So in Romans 1 and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's a lot of verses and there's a lot of information there that is the reason there is no condemnation. Okay, so understanding Romans is a key to understanding our righteousness, which is the opposite of condemnation, all right? It says, there is therefore now. Now means and now, at this time. Right now. And a second from now is going to still be now. So there's still going to be now no condemnation for the rest of your life on this earth and forever. Okay? That's from God's point of view. There is now. And we're going to see why. And then now also is used as a result of something. Like, I got paid today, so now I can go out and buy Kathy a new dress, right? So it's as a result of something also now. So as a result of what Christ did in the previous chapters and verses, it says there is now no condemnation. So we got to really ingrain that in our hearts because the world is set up to condemn us, and we're going to see that and make you feel guilty, shame, and all that other garbage, right? But God says there is now no condemnation. So let's look at Romans 5. We'll just look at a couple of those verses. So Romans 5. And not as one... as it was by one that sinned, which is talking about Adam, so is the gift for judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The word justification is righteousness. So by Adam, when Adam sinned, you know, remember in the garden, Genesis, after he sinned, and then God came looking for him. He goes, where art thou, Adam? Right? And he said, I hid myself. Because he was afraid and he was naked. He was ashamed and fear. So death, fear, and shame and guilt came through Adam, the old nature. But it says in Romans 8:1, it says now. That was then, this is now. Right? Always think then and now. Before you were born again, that was then. You had condemnation. We did things and maybe it doesn't matter what you did, right? And there was shame and guilt that came along with some actions that we may have carried out or did, or the way we thought. But now, there's no condemnation. That's done. So we have to get to that point of recognizing it. And like it says in Romans 6, reckon it dead unto, you know, our old nature and live unto God, right? So there is now. Look at verse 18. It says, so therefore, okay, here we go, is it therefore again? By the offense of one, Adam, judgment. And that judgment was the judgment of death, right? It says you're guilty before God. It says in Romans 3, all the world's guilty before God. And basically, we were going to perish. And it wasn't God doing it because we just inherited it from Adam. So therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. See? So by the righteousness of one, where one righteous act came upon all men to the justification of life. Justification is where God, Jesus Christ, paid the price, set you right, righteous before God. You're judged righteous, where before we were judged guilty. okay? Guilt and the shame that came with it, okay? So now we are righteous. Look at Romans 4, while we're here. It's another therefore, why. What I got here, my cheat sheet. 425, while we're in there. It says, Jesus, who? Talk about Jesus when he was raised from the dead. Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So it's already done. That was done then, 2,000 years. So now we are no condemnation now. This is the result of what he did. Look at John 8. 8:30. The gospel. This even goes back a little further, right? So we'll see. Okay, 8:30 of John, it says, and he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said unto them, said it unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then go down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So, does the Son make us free from guilt, condemnation? Yes. So we're free indeed. See, it's what he did. As a result of what he did, there is therefore now no condemnation, right? There is now, now. Look at Colossians 2:10. Did he miss anything? Let's see here. He could have missed something, and then we'd be in some trouble here. I don't think it says that here. In Colossians 2:10, so in verse 9, it's talking about Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete. So I did a little grammar here, grammar lesson here. Complete. You are is the perfect tense. It describes an action which is viewed as having been completed in the past, once and for all, not needing to be repeated. So he did it once and for all. You are complete. And example of that is Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It, the atonement has been accomplished completely once and for all. No blame, no shame, no guilt, right? You are whole, made righteous. When? Now. Back then we were, but now we receive it when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I'm delivered from sin, then I'm delivered from the guilt of sin, from the consequences of sin. Remember, our sin nature, we were delivered, and the consequences of it. If we weren't delivered from the consequences, then we're not complete in him. Then we still have some baggage here that he hasn't delivered us from. But we have to receive that deliverance. That's the key. It's not automatic. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Now, 2 Corinthians, Romans is a doctrinal epistle instruction. And 2 Corinthians is reproof. So apparently they didn't get it in Romans. So let's see what it says here in Corinthians. So for 2 Corinthians 5:17. So it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and he's talking to the believers at Corinth, so all those believers were in Christ, he is a new creation, or new creature, new creation, or new species of being that never existed. It's another translation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And look at verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Therefore, there is now no condemnation because we were made the righteousness of God in him. See, there is no condemnation. It doesn't matter what you did 50 years ago, 2 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, whatever. there, you're righteous. We're made righteous. It's not temporary. Okay? You're made. Now, we got to get the righteousness consciousness of what we are in Christ, get in our brain cells, in our heart. That's the key here. There's another one. Look at, look at 1 John. So here's the reason, well, here's why condemnation is really detrimental to a believer. 1 John chapter 3. Remember, condemnation is a confidence killer. It'll kill, it'll stop believing, you're believing. It'll prevent you from believing, approaching God and so forth, right? With believing, and then your prayers in vain. So look at here. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater in our heart and knoweth all things. See, if our heart condemns us, it doesn't say if God can, God doesn't condemn us, right? So maybe some, you've been from a background where, you know, people preach condemnation, hellfire, brimstone, that God's, you know, going to punish you and he's going to do all this stuff. God doesn't condemn. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts us, it says in the Word, guides us, leads us in all truth, but that's not condemnation. It's just saying, hey, look, you screwed up here. Here's what you need to do. God doesn't condemn us. So that's a key point. So if our heart condemns us, so with the heart man believes in Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, with the heart man believes. So if your heart's condemning you, you cannot believe. That's a real detriment. And this is a tool of the adversary we're going to see, to get you to doubt yourself, to blame yourself, to criticize yourself, or maybe even others. And that's not coming from God, and we'll see that. And we can deal with it. It shows you in the Word how to do that. In 1 John 1:9, you don't have to turn there, but it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, cleanse us from unrighteousness. So once we're born again, we will sin. We will screw something up. Now, we'll have maybe a sense of being ashamed for what we did, or guilt, we hurt somebody or whatever. Then we got to repent right away and get rid of it. Not to blame ourselves, just, sorry, God, I screwed this up, and then make amends with the person, if it's a person you hurt or something like that. And then done. Then it's done. X through it. You don't carry that and say, you're carrying it for the rest of your life, that, oh, I hurt this person and all that. No, God says you're made righteous. We put that in our mind. We are made righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are righteous now. Now, another point. We're back in 1 John. Now we'll go back to verse 18 of 3. It gives you the whole context here. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Just don't go through the motions. But in deed and truth. I think another translation, truthful deeds. Okay? And if you do that, if you loving in deeds and truth, the Word of God, carrying, walking in the Word. And hereby, in this, if we walk by in deed and truth, we know, I think Janosko, we experientially know that we are of the truth, and we shall what? Assure our hearts before God. So we have confidence. Walking in the Word, knowing what the Word says, and walking, it gives you confidence towards God. Because you know what it says. You know that you're doing it. You know who you are, what it says you are, and you're walking your best you can, and it assures your heart. It gives you that confidence. See, then it says, verse 20, but if our heart condemns us not, you're not assured before God, then God has greater heart, knows all things. But verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. See, that's the key. The confidence killer is the guilt. Is the condemnation. So we get rid of the condemnation and guilt by putting the Word in and saying what the Word says about ourselves. And verse 22, see, here's how you have that believing. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Because you have the boldness to ask now. You have the confidence to go to God because you're not ashamed. It's just like when you were a kid and you broke the vase at the house, right? And mom said, who did this? And you said, I don't know. I didn't do it, you know. But are you really going to go have that confidence to approach your parents for your allowance at that moment, right? You sure do. If you do, you're pretty gutsy there. But normally you'd have shame. You wouldn't really have that confidence to say, oh, yeah, I broke this, but, you know, still give me this. But no, see, there's a consequence of an act. And sometimes it is, in this world, it's guilt and shame, but we deal with it by repenting, and we deal with it by confessing what the Word says about it. We don't have to claim the guilt and shame. We claim that we did something wrong. It's different. And then we repent of the wrong. But we don't, shame and guilt ain't part of the deal there. But we were raised from some, our backgrounds, I was raised in a Catholic church, and that's all you got is guilt, man, you know. Guilt, 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 guilt. So you were taught guilt. If you don't do this, you're guilty, you know, and all that. So those things we overcome by the Word, the right teaching of the Word, the doctrine. Look at Hebrews 4:16. See, once you do have confidence toward God, look, it says here in verse 16, it says, let us therefore come, how? Boldly. Boldly, confidence, with a fearless mind. You're not ashamed. You're not batting an eye. You come boldly because you know who you are in Christ. You know you're righteous. And God says to come boldly, right? Unto the throne of grace, why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in time of need. In time of need is not the time to run away from God, right? And Adam ran away from God. He had guilt and shame. He hid himself. We are made righteous. We have no shame before God. We are accepted of God. That's what righteousness, he made us accepted in the beloved. So we can come boldly. And we have to just have that in our heart and just, we go right to God, thank you for this. Just like, look at 1 John, let's go back there, we should have went there, 15. This is the result of a righteous consciousness, righteousness consciousness. 1 John 5, 14. 1 John 5, 14. It says, and this is the confidence. See, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. See, this is the confidence. And all 1 John is walking in fellowship. It's talking about fellowship with God. It's telling us we're cleansed from righteousness when we confess our sins. So we do something wrong, we thank you, God, for forgiving me. But we still are righteous. We're righteous when we sinned, and we're righteous after we sin, because we're made the righteousness of God. It's in here that we got to get rid of it. Just like unforgiveness, the same type of thing. You know, God says to forgive someone. Now, he already knows what you didn't forgive somebody for. You do it to get rid of it, the baggage in your life, the unforgiveness, how it eats away from you, you know. So this is the confidence. So if you have condemnation, you're not going to have the confidence to go to God and ask with confidence. Just like it says in Mark 11:23, I think it is. It says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe, you receive, and you shall have. You're not going to believe you receive if you're in condemnation. Right? So that's a real key here, is to recognize your righteousness. Almost there. So, now look at Ephesians 3:12. You got to hit Ephesians here, right? Ephesians, another doctrinal epistle, right? 3:12. And this is the doctrinal side, and then there's the practical side, starts in chapter 4. But 3:12 of Ephesians, and I'll read verse 11 for the sense of this, says, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So we have it. So if God says you have it, we have it, and we have it now. There is no condemnation now. We have boldness now. We have access with confidence by faith in him now. That's why we can boldly go before the throne of grace and know that he's going to, we pray according to his word, we got it. It's ours. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears, and we know we have it. And then you don't doubt it from that point on. Don't let doubt creep in. So where's the devil come in here? Well, it comes in pretty good. So the devil knows what the heart man believes on the righteousness, what the heart man believes. So he uses this, and that's why he's like the great accuser. Look at Revelation 12. So this is his stick here, right? That's all he can do is accuse. Revelation 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. The accuser of the brethren. Now, how does it happen? Through people, right? Did you remember Martha came to Jesus as when she was cumbered about so much work and everybody's sitting around Jesus is teaching. And she says, Jesus, don't you care? What is she trying to lay on him? Guilt trip here, right? How does the adversary work? Through people, through words, all right? What about Lazarus? Martha had a bad time here. Martha says, if you were here, my brother would not have died. That's a guilt. So you got to be, it's subtle, but you got to recognize this. If anybody, no one could lay that on you. Look at Romans. Let's look at Romans 8. It's recognizing this stuff. Verse 30. I'll pick it up there. So moreover, whom he did predestinate, us, them he called, us. And whom he called, them he justified, us, made us righteous. And them whom he made justified, them he glorified. So God did all this. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? This ties into coming boldly before his throne, asking with confidence. He says, freely give it, just come. Now, verse 33, it clears the guilt thing here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God, is it God that justified, or shall God who made righteous? No. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? No. Rather, is it risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? So God's trying to make it very clear here in Romans. There's therefore now no condemnation. I'm not condemning you. Jesus isn't condemning you. So we have to go with God's decision in our lives, what he says about us, his will. And look at 1 Peter 5. So what do we do when the adversary comes out with lies and accusations? Do we sit there and roll them over in our brain cells? What do we do? So let's see if the word has any guidance on that. Because we've all been there. We've all done things that may have been not too good, and we've condemned ourselves at times, right? And you're carrying this thing in your mind, and, if I shouldn't. And it makes you, and you really hurt your heart unless you get rid of it, okay? But look at here's how we can do that. 1 Peter, one way to do it. 5:7, is it? Yep. So we read the song. We heard the song. Casting all your care for him, for he cares for you. So be sober, vigilant. Sober's watchful, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he can only devour, I think Janet had a great prayer, says neither give place to the devil, right? He can only unless we allow him. And he's going to knock on the door with a package, with a guilt package or any other package. And it's up to us to accept or reject it. You got to look at it just that way. That thought comes to your mind, and you recognize that, no, this ain't God's word. Then you got to reject it. Now, how do we do that? It says, verse 9, whom resist? Whom pray to God to resist, it says? No, we resist. See, sometimes, now, years ago, maybe people were praying to God to do what we're supposed to do, right? You don't pray to God to resist the devil. It says, you resist. Jesus, what did he do? He resisted the devil, right? So it says, resist steadfast in the faith or the right way of believing. Romans 1 says, right, the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It's in the gospel of God that we resist them with, the word of God, right? So we resist steadfast in the faith. And we're going to end up in Ephesians 6 here. So to get steadfast, we got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we have to believe those things which we say come to pass. See, that's the key of knowing if you're strong in the Lord. It's believing that what you say shall come to pass according to the word. Because if you're resisting, you're not going to, you have to be adamant. Like if you're telling somebody to get off your step that you don't want this package, or you don't want somebody trying to sell you something, say, nah, I don't want it, thanks for coming, but get out of here, I don't want it. That's how we have to deal with our thoughts. But we resist thoughts with words. You don't resist them by just going over your mind, quoting the scriptures. That'll help you, but you got to speak it. Speak it out. Watch, 6:10. Says, be finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole arm of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One of the wiles is accusations, slander, right? 4, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all stand. To withstand is to resist them. It's not just to sit there and take it and start quoting verses. You resist them. God, Jesus didn't sit there and just say, didn't say nothing. He just said, oh, yeah, you know. No, he resists them. It is written with the word of God, right? That's the key here. Look at verse 15. It says, 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on what? The breastplate of righteousness. See, righteousness, breastplate covers the heart. Right? What the heart man believes on the righteousness, right? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of believing wherewith you shall able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts, you're no good. You should be guilty, shame. Don't you feel bad about that? Don't you care? Right? Fiery darts, right? And look at verse 17. Here's a kicker. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When you take the sword of the Spirit, it's an offensive weapon. You speak it. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. You know, I don't accept this judgment on me. Even if somebody tells you something, you can say it mentally in yourself. I refuse to accept that. If somebody says, don't you know, aren't you ashamed of yourself? You know, stuff like that. You refuse to accept it. And you can tell them to their face or internally. But that's how we stand against it. Because then it leads back to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation, right? Right now. Amen?